As the world reels at the enormity of the COVID-19 health crisis, the devastating economic impact is also beginning to hit home. Governments across the globe have announced emergency measures of a nature and on a scale that were truly unimaginable weeks, even days ago. And those sweeping measures are set to be dwarfed by more, even bigger announcements within days. Earlier this week, I spoke to Harvard economics professor Stephanie Stancheva about the situation. Here is how Harvard law professor Noah Feldman, who you might recall as one of the constitutional experts who gave evidence in Donald Trump's impeachment trial. Remember that? Donald Trump's impeachment trial? Seems like an age ago. Here is how Professor Noah Feldman introduced Professor Stancheva.
Professor Stephanie Stancheva is what economists call technically a hotshot. She's an extraordinary scholar, tenured pretty much right away upon joining the Harvard University faculty, on the French Council of Economic Advisors, and all around one of the most brilliant young economists in the United States by common consensus. Also someone who's done work in the long run on the consequences and effects of major government interventions in the real world of economic reality.
And just to note that this conversation came before the announcement by Boris Johnson's new chancellor that the British government will pay grants covering up to 80% of the salaries, up to a maximum of £2,500 per month of employees, so that companies can keep workers on their payroll as the economy crashes. I started by welcoming Professor Stephanie Stancheva to Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me.
Stephanie, the World Economic Forum has described COVID-19 as the biggest threat to the global economy since the 2007 global financial crisis. What is different about this economic threat from, say, the GFC?
A lot of things are really different. The last few weeks, economists have really been talking about how virus economics is just very different from normal recession economics. First of all, it's a gigantic human tragedy on many levels. And then in econ language, if you want, it's at the same time a very large supply side shock and a very large demand side shock. So to explain what that means, it means that on the one side, all the production processes are completely disrupted. Workers cannot go to work. Supply chains are broken down. And then on the demand side, customers can simply not go out and consume. The whole normal activities are interrupted. So it's a super challenging shock that is very different from what we know from econ textbooks.
Are there precedents from economic history that are applicable or maybe suggest what should happen in this situation?
Well, there have been pandemics in the past and we can learn something from them. Of course, they happened in very different contexts.
Yes.
With much lower levels of technology, but also much lower global integration. So we can learn one thing from them, which is the need to act very fast and very intensely to contain the health shock itself. And so I think over the past weeks, we've seen how countries progressively understand the severity of the pandemic and try to take action directly on, you know, suppressing the transmission of the virus itself.
We often think in terms of, you know, when recessionary times come, that the purpose is to stimulate the economy. But the purpose is different in this situation. Is that right?
Yeah, it's different right now in the immediate. So there is a immediate action and there's a medium term or longer term action to be taken. In the immediate run, the first focus has to be the health intervention itself. You know, a bit of a whatever it takes approach to increase hospitals' capacity, stop the spread of the virus, develop testing, develop vaccines. So this is not my expertise, but I guess we all understand that the first thing to do is get people securely out of this health crisis. And then the second thing, which is more economics, is not to stimulate the economy, but actually to provide what we would call social insurance, which is a bridge in a very difficult period. The goal is to maintain households and businesses alive during what's a very, very tough period of transition and just ensure that we don't break down all economic links and relationships that should be surviving just for a temporary shock. So basically, we don't want this temporary shock to become a permanent shock. And then if a recession does ensue, that's when we can pull out the more standard tools of, you know, fiscal stimulus and propping up demand again. But that's not now.
What's your assessment of the economic situation for, say, America, where you are based, but also you've also studied and you come from Europe. And so let's talk about France and the EU, both in terms of the economic situation and also how governments and markets are responding so far.
So in terms of the economic situation, the shock is quite severe, both in Europe and in the US. As the virus is spreading, Europe is more advanced in that sense. The spread started earlier there. And so the US has actually some lead time to prepare for this that was much shorter in Europe. But in terms of the response, what we've seen the last few weeks, or the contrast that I have seen, is that in many European countries, the social insurance side is already very, very developed. So there is already a whole social insurance and safety net in place, which means that right now, the only things that are being done for households is to speed this up. As households have to stay home, governments are just trying to make the system a bit more quick, generous, and lenient.
Who's gone the furthest on that front so far?
I mean, it's hard to say because the countries are just at different stages of this shock.
Yeah.
So I think all countries have gone quite all out on trying to protect households at this point. Germany had a very generous plan. France is developing a very generous plan. So the goal is to get the funds quicker to households. And the big worry is how to tie over businesses, which will be very badly hit. And there's less of an infrastructure there. So those are more new measures. In the US, we're starting from a situation where social insurance is actually quite limited and much less generous than in Europe. And so now we're struggling with developing completely new measures to help households. So currently there's a lot of talk of sending households, you know, directly checks, which is in this situation a very good idea, given that it has to go very fast and there's just no time to implement other more complex or fine-tuned measures. Right now it's urgent to get money to households to be able to survive this.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Harvard Professor of Economics, Stephanie Stancheva. Stephanie, you mentioned before that while there have been pandemics and plagues before, they're in very different contexts. How significant do you think the fact that so much trading occurs via technology and the fact that people can isolate, but also by using the internet, maintain the ability to do some trading and social connection? How much of a difference do you think that will make in terms of the economic impact?
Well, it's very difficult to predict the whole economic impact. And what the message I'm trying to convey, which most economists are trying to convey, is the economic impact will really depend on the policy measures we take now. This is a situation where if we don't do enough now to actually protect, for instance, businesses, well, businesses will go out of business. And this will mean that workers get laid off, and it will take a lot of time for those workers to find jobs again. You know, many links will get destroyed, which then will take a lot of time to rebuild. And so we could make something that could be a shorter shock, although very severe, we could make it very long lasting through bad policy measures. So in a sense, the severity will depend on policy measures. Now, how technology affects this is it's easy to think that everyone can work from home, but actually that's a very privileged situation to be in. Yeah. And many workers, the vast majority of workers, cannot do their job remotely. And so those are the people that really, really need help.
We're all acutely aware of the losses that are occurring at the moment. Are there big winners from this health and economic crisis? And is the likelihood, for example, is China likely to rebound quicker because it was the first to be affected?
This is honestly extremely hard to say, especially in an economy where, in a global economy where there's so many interlinkages, there are so many network effects and so many second order, third order snowball effects, that it's just extremely difficult to predict which country will come out of this, you know, perhaps less worse than others. What is clear is that this is an incredibly costly shock for the world as a whole. It will cost human lives. The economic consequences will also exact a very large human toll. And so it's hard to speak of winners when, you know, the whole situation is so tragic.
Is it possible to say what recovery would look like, and even whether it's possible to return to the way things were before the pandemic?
Well, again, you know, one major lesson here is that whatever we do now will completely shape the recovery. Imagine a situation where we try to contain the virus, but we don't help at all households and businesses. That will cause huge economic disarray and may take, you know, many, many years to at all bounce back to those pre-crisis levels. On the other hand, if we manage to both on the health side contain the virus and help households and businesses, we may quite quickly go back to a point where the economy can start working again. So the policy measures will just determine completely how the recovery looks like.
obviously everyone is trying to get their head around this situation, and it seems to almost change and become more severe day by day. But I was interested to ask you as well, your focus has been previously on taxation and the long-term effects of taxes on innovation and education and training. Has the events of the last month or so, have you had a chance to think about what implications it has, or has it changed your thinking about your core areas of research?
I think it's a situation that makes all of us rethink a lot of things, both personally and professionally. For economists like me, what we've been trying to think is, how have all the, you know, all the things I've deeply researched for so many years, how can they help now? And everyone has a different, you know, slightly different area of expertise. So health economists have been jumping in to propose, you know, great measures to reorganize the health system more efficiently. You spoke about innovation. Yeah, we're trying to think what's the best way to actually incentivize now the development of a vaccine or of a cure of this virus. So everybody's putting in their long researched expertise right now. So I think that has been a very, you know, very reassuring thing to see in the whole academic and economics community, is how much people can bring to the table from their different areas of research.
And obviously, Stephanie, you're a member of the French Council of Economic Advisors, but you're also based in the US at the moment. Just on a personal front, like what is day-to-day life like for you in the US at the moment? And what about the people that you're obviously close to in France? How are they faring?
Yeah, as of now, it's relatively different. So my family is in France, where there's a complete lockdown, almost like a shelter in place, for the last 3 days already, and it's going to last a while. In Boston, it is, you know, everybody's staying home and staying socially distant, but there is no shelter in place yet. So we're clearly living quite different experiences. And I'm sure many families are in this very torn situation, where they feel quite, you know, quite disconnected, in addition with the travel bans. And so I very much sympathize with everyone who's suffering through this on a personal level too.
And Stephanie, from where you're sitting, if there was one message that you could get through to policymakers, economic or otherwise, in this time, what would it be?
Well, in addition to all the economic actions I spoke about, one thing that could have been done and really should have been done so much earlier is a lot of testing. There have been many failures at many levels for why testing hasn't been done extensively in Europe and in the US. But right now, all the actions we're trying to take are basically second and third order best solutions for something that could have been avoided with a lot more testing. So that's really, you know, a major missed opportunity. And if countries are still ahead in the game, you know, perhaps Australia still is, a call for a lot of extensive testing is really, I would say, the best advice right now.
Well, it's been fascinating to discuss these hugely concerning and momentous issues with you. Stephanie Sancheva, thank you very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you very much.